Or you don't know what they're, you know, how they feel about it. It's not like they were, like, you know, hanging out and they both found that, hey, I love porn, tentacle porn. And I feel like it needs to be translated into multiple East Asian languages.
That is my passion.
Yes. That's, oh, great. Then now you have something. Mm-hmm. But, like, this just seems shady to me. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmere. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, so I'm going to try to introduce a brand new segment called Whatever Happened To.
Whatever Happened To.
Yeah, dun, so it could be a person, place, or thing that was hot back in the day.
And suddenly it fell off the radar.
Yeah, it just fell off. So I think hot back in the day for us would probably be the 90s.
Probably.
So that's where most of these were. And then today I'd like to bring you to a gentleman who clawed his way up from the middle.
A gentleman who clawed his way up from the middle.
And his catchphrase in the 90s was, hey, buddy. It's the Weasel.
The Weasel.
Pauly Shore. I was thinking, what the fuck happened to Pauly Shore?
Pauly Shore. Okay, so let's give all our listeners a background on Pauly
Shore. Yeah, so Pauly Shore, Paul Montgomery Shore. I don't know why I didn't go with Monty.
Yeah.
That's what I was. He's born in 1968, so he's a Gen X person. I know. It says here he's an actor, comedian, director, writer, and producer. I'm sure he's most of those.
Yeah.
He is best known for Encino Man.
Oh,
so he only did five movies. Encino Man, Son-in-Law, Biodome, and like two other movies he did. And each, his movies are distinguished by the fact that each one made less money
than the previous one.
Then they kind of petered out at the end. So he grew up, he's from Beverly Hills, California, and his parents owned the Comedy Store.
The Comedy Store was an iconic.
Yes, that was like Sam Kinison, Robert Williams.
Robin Williams
even, the iconic, who the hell is Robin Williams? Whatever happened to Robin Williams? Those kind of people, like the big stand-up, giants.
And why that's significant, listeners, is because before the 80s, there was like a big stand-up boom in the 80s where everybody thought they could do stand-up.
Yeah, you just need a brick wall
a mic. If you were an accountant and people said, you told a good joke, like I could get up and do stand-up. And so there was a big influx of mediocre comedy to...
But clubs were opening up all over the place. Places that you would never even think of a comedy club, just like boom. They had
a
wall.
It was a big thing in the 80s, and everyone wore blazers with the sleeves pushed up.
Yes.
And it was observational comedy.
And they talked about their outfit when they came out, no matter what it was.
Yeah. And airplane food all the time.
Yeah.
But beforehand, this...
Yeah.
This establishment really put up serious comedians.
Yeah. So this is a Comedy Store, and it's owned by Mitzi Shore.
Mitzi Shore.
But originally it was owned by Sammy Shore, and I think Mitzi together. Mitzi got it in the divorce, and those are Pauly Shore's parents.
Right.
So he grew up in this kind of atmosphere of having comics around him all the time. He said he just learned to naturally be funny from them. You know what? Watch his stuff and you can make your own.
You make the call.
Yeah, you make the call for yourself. So he started working as a stand-up when he was 17 in Culver City at a place called Alley Cat Bistro. He said while everyone else was doing their SATs, he was hanging out with Sam Kinison, who was kind of like mentoring him and like getting him into the world of comedy. I liked Sam Kinison. He didn't last very long, though.
No, he didn't.
He shouted himself to death.
Yeah.
Basically. Well, he was overweight, high, strung, drunk a lot.
Yeah, drunk, drugs, the
whole
thing.
And I think his body was just like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know?
But so he was funny. Because
he was very funny.
And we also enjoyed when he would speak softly and then raise it and then go to 60
but
in like 2 seconds.
It became one of these things where, a lot of comics who had a similar body type, let's say, to him were kicking it back then. Because the drugs and the alcohol and the rock and roll comedy lifestyle. So his big break came when he became an on-air MTV VJ.
Right.
From 1989 to 1994. So I watched TV a little bit during that time, and I remember seeing this guy and thinking, great, this is what we get to deal with.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know if it was, he was playing this character called the Weasel.
Right.
And he would use a lot of Valley speak, and I didn't know if it was a shtick or if it wasn't a shtick, but according to him, that was just him. He never wrote material. He just got up there and did this kind of persona.
Okay.
Right? So he was a VJ, and he used to host, he had a show called Totally Pauly that was on during the, I think, the late afternoon, and then it moved to a late night spot to try to compete with, like, Letterman. I'm not kidding. And those kind of shows. And then he also would host MTV's annual spring break parties. And I remember watching these and thinking, like, wow, I can't wait to go on spring break. And, of course, by the time I got to that age, it was not even a possibility for me.
That's true. When I thought, like, I was always looking forward to spring break. And after seeing what went on and, like, what everybody was doing, I was scared. I was a little scared.
Well, it was exciting when I was younger to see, like, oh, wow, this is what we're going to do. But when I got older, I was like, looks like the prelude to a rape.
Yeah.
You know? Pretty much. So I'm going to go ahead and not go.
It was like Predator Central.
Yeah. It seemed fun when I was 12. But the closer I got to, like, 18, I was like, ugh, shady. Yeah. So in 1992, he starred in Encino Man, which was a modest hit.
Encino Man with Brendan Fraser.
Yes. And then he was in Son-in-Law in 1993, the following year, 1994, in the Army Now, because everyone's got to do, you know, a service picture.
Sure.
And then
it was going to be the New Stripes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He also did Jury Duty in 1995. And then the 1996 Hallmark film, Biodome.
Oh, my God.
All films have less than 10% fresh tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Or what did I call it before? It wasn't fresh tomatoes.
It's rotten tomatoes.
It's rotten tomatoes. Rough tomatoes.
Rough tomatoes.
On the rough tomato scale from 0 to 10, it gets like a 0. He did a couple of cameo appearances. Then in the early 2000s, he was in Pauly Shore is Dead, which is a semi-autobiographical mockumentary. I mean, he's not dead. And then he was in, had a television series for a minute called Minding the Store. Huh? I don't know if it was about the Comedy Store or not. And then Adopted, right, which he did a parody of celebrities going to Africa to adopt children because that's what they were doing.
Oh, remember everyone was snatching up a baby. Yeah, everyone was
doing that. And then he kind of just like fell off a little bit. So he's done some voiceover work. He was in King of the Hill, Futurama, so that kind of stuff. And then he did a piece in Sandy Wexler, which was Adam Sandler's film that was on Netflix.
Oh,
I guess he was in that for a second. And then he's been on some reality TV shows. So I wanted to know what he was doing.
What was he doing?
Now, it seems like in July of this year, he's doing two shows at Myrtle Beach at some comedy store type thing there.
Up on his.
And then, just because I wanted to do my due diligence, I found an article on him from 1991 in the Spokesman Review and Spokane Chronicle. Okay. They printed this up.
Do tell us.
And it says here, he uses nouns like cones, fatty, and melon. Translation, breasts, joint, and head.
Okay.
He's a full. So one of his catchphrases or whatever would be like, I'm full, not catchphrases, but one of the things he would say, I'm fully into grinding some major chow that your madre prepared, you trolley little weasel.
Yeah.
So this was the kind of stuff, and I remember watching this and being like, what? So it's like, he said he's on stage, he's just doing, he's a character, the character is just Pauly, and he's not that smart, he's just a guy trying to get by on no skills, minimal brain power, and more nap time. Some of his favorite things include hanging out by his mom's pool, partying late, eating pizza, watching TV, drinking cocktails, going to rock concerts, smoking pot, trying to score with girls. So I read through.
You know, a real catch.
Yeah, a real catch. So he actually never drank or did drugs.
Really?
Because he said he grew. And it was interesting because he said he grew up, you know, with a lot of comedians around, and he didn't get into it. But I'm assuming he probably saw some things that he didn't like the way that they looked.
Yeah.
And I've heard this from other people who've grown up in those kind of environments. Like, they see people using a lot of drugs and alcohol, and they're not condemning it. They're just saying, hey, I'm not.
It's not for me. They saw what happened. Yeah.
So, like, no thanks. He said the guy is. So he said, I dress the same. I look the same as I do off stage. The guy on stage is funny. Off stage, I'm not going to be doing that kind of stuff. I hate comics that try to be funny. I just do my thing, no shtick. Is not that character a shtick? The weasel?
Yeah, that's a shtick if I ever saw
yeah,
one.
Yeah, the weasel. Yeah. I remember it, hey. Just thinking, like, why?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, hey, buddy. So he talked about dude speak.
So listeners, if you want to speak like him, repeat after us. Hey, buddy.
That's with a long U. Very long U.
You could try it. Hey, buddy.
Buddy.
No.
Hey, buddy. So he says he loved Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and he kind of modeled his character on that a little bit, which was a parody of what he's doing in a weird way, but kind of before him, I don't know, whatever. But he says he just likes to hang out, you know, hanging around and, you know, just doing his thing. So that's Pauly Shore from the 90s. What he's doing now is a little show here and there. I don't know what the shtick is going to be now. He said he obviously can't do the same character because he's 48.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. He said he's...
he's 50.
The article said that he's... This is an article from 2016. Mm. Oh, yeah, he's 50. You're right, he's 50 now. This article's from 2 years ago. That's who I am, but the older I get, I ask less like the weasel, right? And they say he's very youthful. So he is... gotten more interested in politics, and here's a quote. Most comedians expressing opinion on politics this year, this is in 2016, seem to have a knee-jerk antipathy to Republican candidate Donald J. Trump. Shore is no Trump fan, but his take on the controversial billionaire is nuanced. I appreciate that people appreciate him, but I don't think he has the experience. The thing is, if he'd been a governor for a while somewhere, or a mayor, if he'd been dancing in that world, maybe I think, this could be cool. But to go from being a real estate mogul to being in charge of nukes, he's just not right for the position. Even he knows that.
Even he, all right.
So that's Pauly Shore. That's what he's doing now. So if you're in Myrtle Beach, you have a chance to catch him this summer. And he's probably doing scant dates throughout the United States.
I'm sure he'll pop up somewhere. And
yeah.
Well, all right. Well, he's doing no harm.
Yeah, he's doing no harm. I just, another person I put into that same category with him is... Was there a guy called Tom Green or something like that?
Oh, right.
What happened to that guy?
Yeah, he was like kind of the same thing, like a ridiculous, doing a ridiculous character that was kind of, but Tom Green was a little more bizarre and offbeat.
Yeah,
and didn't
yeah.
quite make sense. It was almost like they were private jokes.
Yeah, or maybe he was going closer to like Andy Kaufman type of performance arty kind of thing.
That's what he was trying to do, and he was married to Drew Barrymore for a while.
Oh, God.
Right.
She just don't care. And that's Pauly Shore, anyway. So that's what happened to him. That's what happened to him. The weasel. All right, what do you have?
I got the four R's.
For R's, rehearse, record, rental, repair.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag #BunkLifeNYC.
Gold. Yeah, that gold. Call me gold. All right, what do you have?
So I have a listener mail.
Awesome. So if you would like to send us a piece of email, please do so at heyyouknowit@gmail.com. We don't keep anyone's email. We don't expose your information to anyone. We destroy it afterwards.
Yeah.
If we print it out,
we don't
eat
bug
it.
You. Yeah. We thank you, but we don't bug you.
Yeah,
afterwards.
We thank you.
Yes. This is from Michael F.
Oh, nice. Michael F.
Yes.
It's advice. It's got to be.
It's advice.
Is it juicy?
Oh, yeah. Get ready. Where?
Okay. Should I put a helmet on?
As he starts out, hey, y'all.
Hey.
This is great just for a twofer. At
work. Oh, no.
At work, translating Asian porn and wedding etiquette.
Okay. As you do. It's all multitasking right. For someone.
Okay. I'm an ex-military guy using the GI Bill to attend college.
All right, cool.
I am. I'm looking to enter the tech field and landed a great internship at a well-known tech company. During introductions, I let people know that prior to entering college, I worked in military intelligence and learned an East Asian language as part of my job.
Okay. He doesn't want to say what it is. It's a mystery language.
Yes. This attracted the interest of a senior project manager in my office who is also an ex-military linguist.
Okay.
But who had learned a different East Asian language.
I feel a beef coming on.
We struck up a conversation, and he revealed that he was working on a side project that could use my language skills. Being eager to impress, I readily volunteered, and he asked me to come over to his place that evening.
Are you kidding me?
However, when I arrived, I was mortified to learn that his side project was adding English subtitles to an animated porn film for some website he runs.
Why not just make it up based on what you see?
I know, right?
You know, like, oh, that octopus looks like a fine gentleman. You know, whatever's happening on the screen.
Not wanting to lose the internship, I awkwardly translated a few lines for him, then made up some excuse to leave.
I'm sorry, this is harassment, by the way. Did he put his hand on your knee or anything?
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Now I have an email from him asking if when I'm free again to help. I worry if I say no, I'll risk upsetting somebody who could potentially sabotage my career.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to spend my evenings translating tentacle porn and God knows what else for this weirdo.
Oh, man.
If I were a woman, I think this would be sexual harassment. But what the hell is this if you're a guy?
It's still sexual harassment. It is.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter if you're a guy or not. Eventually, I feel like something's going to happen. I'm surprised nothing happened the first time. He probably was like feeling, it's grooming.
Grooming.
Sir, this is grooming. Yeah. Now he's got you, you've done something that you're not proud of. He's in the wrong, but now this guy is the one who's worried about his future.
Yeah, because when somebody's in the position of power and they're asking you to do something that is way off base.
Yep. They implicated you in it. It's harassment.
And this is sexual harassment.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if this guy, you know, has a hard time accepting that fact. And a lot of men do.
Yeah. Until it's too late.
And a lot of men have been harassed and hurt, and just like women have. And they're just like, no, if it only happens to women.
I think dudes think it's only going to, like, when they see, like, a scrotum in their face, then they're like, oh, this is harassment. But, like, that's, like, you know, way down the line. This is how it starts.
Yes. And, again, you're talking about grooming.
Yeah.
That the guy has more planned for him,
exactly.
Perhaps.
He's like, come over again.
Come over again. We'll have some wine.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have some wine. Relax a little.
Yeah. Yeah, can you do voices?
Yeah.
Why don't you put on an outfit?
Exactly.
Of the character. Yeah. So you can get into character.
I just happen to have this squid outfit.
Yeah.
Slip that on. Okay.
The advice. Okay. This isn't good news, exactly.
I'm sorry. That's the way it's... I'd be like, dude, get out of there.
Run.
Harold, run.
Run fast.
Yeah. Slither on out of there on all tentacles.
Mm. I hope it may prove to be helpful news. But you don't have to be a woman to be sexually harassed.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah,
ding, ding.
Anyone can be harassed by anyone.
Yes.
Sexually.
Regardless of your gender, what this is wildly unprofessional and totally inappropriate. Not to mention a display of bad judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect, too, that he asked the intern to help him with this because he felt like he could abuse your precarious employment status in order to get what he wanted out of
you. That's right.
That's exactly.
Yeah.
Again, on the nosy.
Yep.
You say he's a senior project manager, but not, it sounds like, your direct supervisor. Tell him you're not going to work on this project again. Say this in writing so you have a documentation, for sure.
Right? Yeah.
And
get your anecdotals together.
Yeah, and you're not comfortable being asked to help him write subtitles for pornographic films off the clock. He's like, what a sentence I have to write.
I know, off the clock.
If for any reason he did attempt to retaliate, you have such a strong case against him that I don't doubt for a minute the company would be on your side.
Yeah.
They should be on his side, and in this climate, things are a-changing.
Yeah, I hope so. You never know.
You know what? You never know.
They might say, oh, you went over there, just like they do with us.
Yeah.
You know,
because I don't know if fellas, I know women, you probably have had, you know, your own experiences, but sometimes you blow the whistle on somebody and they retaliate hard.
And you don't, the company is embarrassed that they've hired this guy, the senior guy in the first place, and they're willing to cover up what he did and just sweep you under the rug.
Or they've done something similar and it's kind of like a big, you know, we'll look the other way.
But regardless, this guy is completely inappropriate. Like, I hope he's not doing this. I mean, definitely blow the whistle for yourself, but like, what if he's asking other people to do this too?
Yeah, so definitely blow the whistle, but just, I'm saying, be prepared for an outcome that you don't like, but you have to do it anyway.
And you can't go over there again.
Yes.
I wouldn't even hang out with that dude. That's shady.
Yeah. That's gross.
Yeah. An employee or an intern.
Go to an intern.
You just got there. Like, someone you don't even know if they're into porn or not.
You
don't know what they're, you know, how they feel about it. It's not like they were, like, you know, hanging out and they both found that, hey, I love porn, tentacle porn. And I feel like it needs to be translated into multiple East Asian languages.
That is my passion.
Yes. That's, oh, great. Then now you have something. Mm-hmm. But, like, this just seems shady to me.
Yeah, and when you're in a position of power, you just don't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, you just don't do it. You know, you can find it. You could go on Craigslist and find a translator for whatever the language is.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, I'm trying to translate this porn for a business that I run. I need someone to translate it, and somebody will do it.
Yeah, so he's trying to get a freebie off this guy and using his job,
that's
holding
right.
it over his head.
He didn't even pay the guy.
Yeah.
This is bullshit.
Oh.
We're on your side, Sergeant Harold or whatever.
Yeah.
Where did you, Michael F., where did you get Michael this F. from?
Yes, I don't know. Wow. All right, but that I have, it's the doubleheader he sent us.
Okay. Oh, I thought that was both heads in one. There's more? All right.
Oh, there's more, because he said, here's just a great twofer at work, translating Asian porn and wedding etiquette. So let's get to the wedding etiquette. Okay.
The porn overshadowed that.
Yeah, so Michael's twofer.
Okay, part two.
My sister married a couple of years ago, and I noticed, to my surprise and horror, that many guests did not bring gifts.
Okay.
More recently, two of my good friends got married, and again, I'd say that less than half the guests brought gifts.
Well, maybe they bought cash.
Yeah. Both of these weddings provided free food, drinks, and entertainment for hours on end.
I'm sorry, are there some weddings where they charge for the food and drink? Okay.
I cannot imagine showing up to an event where I can eat and drink and celebrate to my heart's content for free and not bring so much as a card.
Yeah?
My sister registered for a honeymoon fund, and my friends skipped the registration altogether in hopes that no one would feel pressure to spend a certain amount of money. Did either of these decisions lead guests astray? I am genuinely curious. Is it rude not to register for gifts?
No. So, okay.
Oh, wait, there's a little more here.
Well, can you go back? Because I think I missed something. So, in order to save the embarrassment for the guests, the couple didn't register?
It says here, my sister registered for a honeymoon fund, and my friend skipped the registration altogether in hopes that no one would feel pressured to spend a certain amount of money. So, the friends, I guess, didn't know what to spend, so they just didn't do it at all.
Well, shit. It's a C note.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay. Let's hear the rest of it.
And, or maybe wedding gifts are just a thing of the past.
No, they aren't. No. I've seen all different kinds of things. I've seen people have wishing wells, which I like, because usually a married couple needs money.
Yeah.
Right? They're going on a honeymoon or whatever. They're moving into, they're combining something. And do you know anyone who couldn't use money? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Some people say, I would like to donate something to a cause I care for. Mm-hmm. And then some people just have a straight up registry.
Right.
But when in doubt, you can always slip a $100 bill into a card.
Yeah.
Or write a check.
Absolutely.
You know.
Knowing firsthand all the stress, anxiety, time, money, and effort that goes into planning a party for all your friends and family to enjoy, I think all guests should at least bring a card or a letter for the couple. If a gift is a financial strain, they can at least offer some sweet words of advice, love, encouragement. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think there is a thing with wedding etiquette. You have a year to give a gift.
Yeah, you do. That's what they say. You have a year to give a gift.
But and come on. People say no. Do it right away.
But you could bring a card.
Yeah.
No matter what. Like at our wedding, I had some of my students, they came. They were very poor, but they got together and got some money and put it in a card for us, which I thought was nice.
Oh, that's really nice.
And that's like kind of a burden for them.
Yeah.
Right? But they were there in their minds. They were like, we're coming to this wedding. There's free food and drink. And, you know, we want to be respectful. So they got a nice card, threw a couple bucks in it. I spent those couple bucks. I thought it was a great gift.
That's great.
It fit.
That's great. I think I've given everybody gifts except there was one. No, this is, I was waiting tables.
Okay.
And I'm a bridesmaid.
Okay.
And I'm spending
money. Does the bridesmaid have to get a gift? I thought the gift was being in the party.
No.
You're supposed to get a gift.
No. Well, you do get a little gift.
Yeah.
But you spend money on the bridal shower.
Yeah.
You have to give a gift for the bridal shower, pay for the bridal shower if the parents don't.
So bachelorette party.
Bachelorette party, that whole thing.
Plus your whole outfit, your hair, your makeup. Although I feel like the bride actually should provide the makeup and hair for the party, but that's just my feeling.
So at that point, I was over $1,000 as a waitress, server, and
you're not expected to give a gift, I feel like, in that situation.
So the wedding came. I mean, I'm paying for the hotel, my transportation, all that stuff. The wedding came, and I was just like, I have to wait a little while to give a gift.
Yeah, I'm broke.
Because I need to,
I'm flat.
And so as I was repairing my finances, like later on, the bride was giving some shade.
What? I would have been like, you lousy bitch.
Like, some people didn't even bring a gift. Pointed like a passive-aggressive kind of thing. So I was like, guess what? She's not going to get a gift at this point.
I'll be taking a shit in the box and mailing that. What the hell? I really thought that if you have people in the wedding, that you give them a gift. And you leave it at that. Like, the bride and the groom give the groomsmen or the bridesmaids gifts. Because people are out, like, $1,000 for this thing. Yeah. You know?
Plus, depending on where it is.
You know, yeah, it could be more. Yeah. But even just the dress, the hair, you know, all that stuff. The bachelor and bachelorette party, the rehearsal dinner, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that costs a lot of money. Fuck the gift at that point.
Yeah.
The gift, my presence.
Yeah.
Is the gift.
Like, yeah, and all the running around that you do and help, and if it's like a big
from nothing. Anyway. It's not all like right. You're putting on Harry Potter the musical. All right.
Yeah. So the advice. I'm happy to discuss this as a general topic, but when it comes to your specific issue, should I be angry about the wedding of my sister and close friends? The answer is no.
Huh?
You've not been harmed in any way, so you should let it go. Because this person is like, kind of like...
Yeah, it's not them.
Yeah. Bear in mind that many guests have ordered something delivered to a couple's house.
Yeah.
It is very common to order something large off the registry and have it sent directly rather than lugging it to the ceremony.
Yeah, who wants, like, a wine fridge at the ceremony?
I know. There you go.
How are you going to get that out of there?
Get the bride. Hike up that bustle.
There were a couple people who brought us actual gifts for our wedding, but we were leaving directly from the ceremony for our honeymoon. So I'm like, what the hell am I going to do with this bowl?
Yeah, I know.
I was like, can someone else take this?
Yeah, you have to have somebody else there to take the gift.
I gave someone else my wedding dress. I gave it to my friend. I was like, get this out of here. I can't take this on a plane.
Yeah, it's true. There's also the expense of attending weddings. My point. Yeah. Remember that some of the guests may be on limited budgets. They may have already attended numerous weddings that same year and don't want to miss out on a friend's special day just because they can't afford a fondue pot.
No. Well, that got petty.
Yeah, I agree that it's lovely to bring a card wishing the couple well, but I don't believe that wedding gifts are a thing of the past. It's also certainly not rude to decide not to register for gifts, and under no circumstances is it rude if you don't want or need any to tell the guests not to bring gifts.
Yeah, one ceremony we were not able to attend, friends of ours, but they are a really active animal rights like activists, and they wanted donations to be given to some kind of like happy farm for animals or whatever. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So we just gave our money to that organization.
Yeah, exactly. If they want to do something like that, that's fine. If they want.
Plus, they were older. Because, you know, this is like when we were in our 30s. They were already cohabiting.
Mm-hmm.
They already had all the stuff
that they need.
That they need. So it wasn't like they needed a blender or any of this kind of stuff that you get when you're like in your early, you know, your 20s. No one's doing China anymore and that kind of stuff. And I think that they were not going on a honeymoon until much later. So it wasn't even, you know, they were just like, hey, come to our ceremony. Mm-hmm. And if you want to do a gift, donate to this animal sanctuary. Yeah. Well, that was cool.
Yeah. They say don't spend any more time and energy worrying about whether people brought cards or gifts to someone else's wedding.
I think they're worried about their future wedding. Yeah, they're like, are we going to get shit from these people or nothing?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to just look at it that way. I always bring a card with money.
Yeah.
A check, not cash.
A check. Oh, sometimes have I given cash?
I have given cash, but I was, you know what? That can get lost rather easily.
That's true. Well, if they have the wishing well,
yeah,
then cash is okay. But yeah, I'm not putting it on the table.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
And traditionally, especially at Italian weddings, the bride walks around with a silk pouch.
With a bag? That's classy.
And just like, hi, how are you doing? Walks around, says hi to everybody at the table, and you're supposed to slip something in the bag.
Some wedding I went to, I was a friend of mine who was West African, and they like put the money on the person.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow, whatever.
Fine.
Because then you could see. So it's like you couldn't stick like a $10 bill on her, because then you would look chintzy. You had to put like a $100 bill on there. So I think it upped the ante, and the bride got more money.
That's good.
But yeah, I like the wishing well and things like that. You know, make it easy for people nowadays. Yeah. You can PayPal. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right? All right, cool. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be. Listener mail again.
Oh.
My husband, Greg Zenon, has sent this one in because he knows that we do booze news from time to time.
Oh, we do.
Kentucky bourbon warehouse collapses, spilling 9,000 barrels of whiskey.
Oh.
It collapsed.
How?
They have no idea. thousands of whiskey barrels.
Do you like how my voice got very somber?
It's sad.
Wow. Yeah.
Thousands of whiskey barrels crashed into a massive heap on Friday when a large section of a decades-old storage warehouse collapsed at a distillery in the heart of Kentucky bourbon country. So I'm looking at this building, and it looks like a piece of shit. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
This thing looks like it was just nailed together loosely 100 years ago, and it's bursting with really heavy items inside.
Yeah.
It just... So there... There were 18,000 barrels, and half of them were spoiled.
Oh, bummer.
We're assessing how many of the impacted barrels can be recovered at this point. Luckily, no one was injured.
Oh, what a
nightmare, because that's just not a good way to go. I mean, that just invites snickers from people. If you died in the collapse of whiskey barrels, I'm sorry.
it's a sad story. It drowned in his sorrows.
Yes. So they don't know what, so apparently a lot of the barrels had already been promised to different vendors. So now they're trying to figure out who's going to get what from what's left.
It's like Survivor of the vendors.
And then even worse, they had to bring in people from the Environmental Protection Department because a lot of the whiskey spilled into the ground and some of it, I guess, made its way to a local waterway. Mm-hmm. So they had to go around and test the waters to see if they were soaked with whiskey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So,
and the restaurants for miles were serving drunken salmon.
Exactly. There's probably just some people waiting.
Yeah.
So they're saying that in the past they'd had warehouse fires before, but they'd never had just a full-on collapse. So that's it. 9,000 barrels of whiskey are
done.
Spoiled.
Do they have insurance, I hope?
I hope so. Yeah. But, I mean, look, if you're housing your stuff in this kind of building, I'm going to guess no. They obviously don't care.
Yeah.
This will save some shit from where I'm from that you wouldn't even put hay in there.
Right. Yeah, you can't even get insurance on something like that. It's like...
But it was, in the picture, it looks like the building is about 4, 5, maybe 6 stories tall, just stacked up with whiskey.
That's like storing your, like, diamond jewelry in a shoebox.
Mm-hmm.
Just in your backyard.
Yeah, just in the backyard.
And then saying, can I get this insured?
So, we don't know what's going to happen. Oh, sorry. It was built in the 1940s, this thing. It looks much older.
Oh, jeez.
That's pretty fucking old, though. So, that's gone.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, rest in peace, 9,000 barrels.
Yeah.
I found this was interesting. It's kind of like Barnyard News. It's a segment that we do where we report on animals in the barnyard and out of the barnyard. This is interesting. It's a... Dead great white shark on Santa Cruz Beach leads to a criminal investigation for some reason. I have no idea why. It said on June 17th, beachgoers found a juvenile male great white shark weighing 500 pounds, and it was 8 feet long on Beer Can Beach in California near Santa Cruz. So the authorities aren't disclosing the cause of death. But now somehow law enforcement has got involved and they're investigating.
Why?
So it says that it's unusual for great white sharks to just wash up.
Okay.
Like on a shore.
And are they protected?
Yeah, they are protected.
Okay.
But one washed up last year around the same time.
Mm.
All right. So they said usually the only predators are orcas, killer whales. But when an orca kills a shark... You can see because they go for the stomach and they kind of like rip things open. It's not a shank.
Okay.
You know, it's not clean. This guy shows up just dead, no clear lacerations. So it's a mystery now.
So was he wrapped in newspaper with sending the message, you sleep with the fishes?
Well, this is what they're trying to figure out.
You sleep on the beaches.
Yeah. So it said the great white that washed up dead last year at the same time had a bacterial brain infection. But this one, they don't know what's going on with it. The fins were intact, right? Everything was there. It's just a dead shark. I think it might be a message.
I think it's Luca Brasi was involved in this.
Yes. They said they're not, but this is the first time where a white, where a great white shark has led to a CSI. So we'll see what happens.
Well, stay tuned, listeners. We'll find out.
Yeah,
what
we'll
happens.
Get to the bottom of this. If this was the result of humor interaction, it had to be illegal, and we will find out about it.
That's right.
They obviously have nothing else going on.
Yeah, you can run, but you can't hide.
You can swim, but you can't dive.
Yeah,
I would say. All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the
Campfire. Tales from Dirt Campfire is a spooky segment where we find tales on the internet of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore, ghost stories.
Scary stuff.
And we retell them here around the digital campfire. So please, everyone, gather around.
Gather around, listeners.
Get ready.
Yes, the one.
Is it scary?
Taking place in Michigan.
Okay.
Scary to
that
me.
That is scary.
Right off the bat. I have heard it hurt.
Are you doing a character? Okay.
I have seen and heard things in the South before, but I've never been bothered by it because in my village I'm known as brave. So I'm embarrassed to admit I'm terrified of what's happening.
Okay.
I know everyone that has lived in this house has stories about...
Are they going to tell us what it is? Or is that the part of the mystery?
So this is building up this suspense.
Okay, okay. Sorry.
I know everyone that has lived in this house had stories about what they've seen. My uncle said he would see his grandpa sitting at the edge of the bed. My little brother was staring at something with so much fear and tears in his eyes, saying, "Do you see him? He's standing right over there."
No, I don't see anything.
Do you hear that out? It's so loud. Everything seemed so harmless until recently.
I feel like in any situation, if you ask people, did you hear that? The answer is always no. Mm-hmm. No, they didn't. Otherwise, you'd be looking at each other.
Yeah.
Right? And being like.
I don't know. Sometimes you look at each other and you look around.
But if a noise, like some strange noise happens and we both hear it, or we both see something the same, I feel like we're going to know that the other person saw it. If I have to say like, hey, did you see that? The answer is no. You didn't see it. It's like, did you see that wolf man? Like, you would just leave that out. You know what I mean? And not mention it. Like, you saw it, but it's like, whatever.
Is that whatever?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah.
It's like,
fine, yeah. Okay. I did. Okay.
I live home alone 5 days out of the week. It usually happens when one is alone.
Okay.
Everyone in my family.
When one is alone.
Everyone in my family is scared of the attic door.
Mm-hmm.
We will double lock it to go up. Go outside. When we come back, it would be unlocked.
I say take the attic off.
I know.
Fuck it.
So they double lock it, go outside, come back. It's totally unlocked. All right.
Have they set up a camera? Okay.
My room will be perfectly clean when I leave it, but when I come back, it's trashed.
Okay.
It started really bothering me when I was watching TV. I heard, "Hey there, Ellie." I ignored it because I thought it was the TV until a few hours later, I heard it outside my bedroom door. "Hey there, Ellie." Again. Last night, I had my feet at the end of the bed. I felt something pushing on my feet. I thought it was my cat because sometimes he sleeps on my feet until I felt hands gripping my feet, making its way up my blanket.
Ew, probably not the cat.
They don't have thumbs.
Exactly.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
I sat up to look at my, and my cat was on the other side of the bed.
And the cat was like, "Yo, did you see that shit? Did you hear it?"
Fine.
Yeah.
I can't sleep anymore after the recent fear of my bed shaking again. Something touching me, the whispers, and seeing a man standing in my room at night and the constant feeling of someone is next to you.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And I love how the opposite of a dog. The cat's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
That thing doesn't seem to be interested in me.
I'm like, look.
Yeah.
Keep on walking.
Yeah, keep on walking. I'm just cleaning myself over here, dude. I'm cool.
Since it's starting to be more visible, no one will let anyone be alone in this house at night.
What is it?
I called my younger brother crying to please come and stay at my house for one night since I'm not alone. So
and he
I'm not
was
alone.
Like, hell no, B.
And after that night, he refused to leave me there another night alone. Before I end the story, I also want to say, if it's possible, a spirit I would think would be attached to old pictures that I have of my great-great-grandpa.
Hmm. Maybe get rid of those.
Yeah.
That's
maybe get
creepy.
Rid of them. But that's weird that they're all like, I don't like, the whole thing about what creeped me out was the attic door being unlocked.
Yeah.
Mm,
they
no.
should do something about that. I mean, mine was, a bit over the top. I guess just take the attic away.
Yeah.
That was my idea.
Just set up a camera and see what happens.
Yeah. Or do you like what they do in paranormal activity? Put down some flour and you can mm-hmm. see like weird bird feet or whatever the thing is supposed
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
Check it out what it
Have
is.
Have you heard the scary thing going on Dear David? Have you heard about Dear
no,
David?
No, what's Dear David? Really? What's, okay.
Dear David is
Gather background.
Guy. Gather background. This is a bonus. It's do this for memory.
Okay.
Okay.
It's from memory.
This guy on Twitter
okay.
is saying that his apartment is haunted by this Dear David. He had a dream that he saw a little boy with like a smashed in head sitting in his chair looking at him while he was asleep.
How was it looking at him with a smashed in head?
It's on the side.
Okay.
And he felt really weird, and he's going in with these tweets with the story.
I like it. Tweets from Dirk Campfire.
Yeah, and then he had another dream where a girl came to him and said, "Oh, I see you met dear David." And she said that you can ask him only 3 questions, mm-hmm. or ask him questions, but you can't ask whatever it was, or else he'll kill you.
So did he ask the questions?
He asked the questions. He asked the wrong question, of course.
Of course.
And was his Twitter account haunted? So now it's like his apartment is haunted by Dear David, and his cat is freaking out, and all kinds of weird shit is happening. And not only is it creepy enough, by the way, one of our mutual friends sent me the link to it, and I was reading it at home at night alone.
Oh, why did you do that to yourself?
I don't know
Read
why.
It during the day on the path.
I know. So scared.
Ooh, I'm going to check this out.
It's really scary. And then then he stopped for a while, and he's like, Dear David is back again. And
I feel like this guy's going to get a 3-picture deal out of this.
Dear David's been taking pictures while this guy's asleep.
Ooh. All right, I like this. Yeah. All right, we're going to have to follow up with that.
All right. Sorry, if you listeners have heard of this and it's freaked you out too, just send us an email.
Yeah, let us know
or
about
tweet
it.
Us or something.
I had not heard about that one before. So here's a robot news from the coming robot apocalypse.
Uh-oh.
This is actually recent. It says new IBM robot holds its own in a debate with a human. So they have, this is an AI system from IBM. Previously created Deep Blue, which beat the Garry Kasparov, who was a chess champion. And then they created Watson, which beat people on Jeopardy.
That's right.
I don't understand why any of this is important, but whatever. So now they have created an AI that is going to be able to debate the shit out of us, apparently. Mm-hmm. IBM's Project Debater made its public debut in San Francisco on like a week or two ago, mm-hmm. where it squared off against some guy called Noah Ovadio, who's the 2016 Israeli debate champion. I didn't know we had national debate teams.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Israel does. Do we have one?
A national debate team?
Yeah.
I believe it. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. I've just never heard of the American debate champion. maybe we don't have one. Maybe it's the rest of the world does. Anyway, so it turned out to be...
I wouldn't be surprised if we...
I feel like everyone in our culture can debate pretty heavily everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. So the first time it came out, the Project Debater was a formidable opponent. It scanned hundreds of millions of newspaper and journal articles in its memory, quickly synthesizes them, and then can argue the topic that it was assigned on the spot.
Okay.
So it said, the Project Debater, this is where they always make a mistake, could be the ultimate fact-based sounding board without bias.
Okay.
That's impossible because this machine is scanning information written by humans who obviously have bias.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So
right.
It's
right.
Like, what if this guy, whoever is programmed, gets fed Mein Kampf into it? Okay. There's probably some really solid arguments in there if you don't have a moral compass.
Right.
Which AI does not have. So it said, audience survey taken before and after each debate found that Project Debater better enriched the audience's knowledge as it argued in favor of subsidies for space exploration. Look, just trying to get itself a job. Also in favor of telemedicine. Again, AI trying to get itself a job.
Yeah.
And the human debaters did a better job at delivering their speeches. Again, I'm not sure why they're doing this. I don't want to have a debate with a robot. I barely want to have a debate with a human nowadays.
Right.
So it says...
So, I guess they're looking for someone to solve the problem once and for all. If we can get all this information together, can we come up with a solution to whatever the debate is about?
No, because that's what a debate is. Mm-hmm. A debate is, it's like, maybe you can change the other person's mind, but I'm really not going to listen to a computer on these topics.
Yeah.
Sorry. It said... The problem is that they don't make good jokes. Project Debater
that's the
said,
problem?
"Yeah, when arguing in support of telemedicine, Project Debater said, I can't say it makes my blood boil because I have no blood.
Oh.
If it had played a drum roll afterwards, yes, I would have said thumbs up, AI, but it didn't.
Yeah.
So IBM's engineers know that AI isn't perfect, just like human, it makes mistakes, sometimes it repeats itself. However, the company believes it could have a broad impact in the future, as people will now have to be more skeptical as they sort out fact and fiction, right? This is from IBM, who helped the Nazis. Project. Wow. Yes, Project Debater. Oh yeah, look into their history.
IBM helped the Nazis?
Of course. Project Debater must adapt to human rationale and propose lines of argument that people can follow. In debate, AI must learn to navigate our messy, unstructured human world as it is, not by using a predefined set of rules as in a board game. I don't understand this. Any machine that you create that is using artificial intelligence is always going to have human bias. It's impossible not to, because the information fed into it. It's like garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
Right? So if it's, you know, racist, misogynist bullshit in, it's racist, misogynist bullshit out.
You're right.
And it's not like IBM has the best history. So, but yeah, I mean, I would never debate an AI. What for? There's no point.
Is there, maybe to infuse it with your point of view. Because is that going to work? That's going to be the only way you can get some information into AI. That's
it's just to from sneak my point of view
a
in.
A woman's point of view. Yeah. I guess it's not like some kind of.
I'm just wondering, like,
misogynistic nerd.
So you give the debater a topic. Mm-hmm. It then quickly researches everything online and scan. And I'm wondering, like, yeah, where does it get its information from, or where is it not getting its information from?
Exactly.
If it's getting it from Google, then that stuff has already been narrowed down to whatever Google thinks is the appropriate thing to come up with, versus Bing or DuckDuckGo or Yahoo. Or what about things that haven't made it to digital?
Yeah.
Some of my favorite books never made it to the digital era. Like some of my favorite children's books.
Yeah.
They're only in existence as a paperback.
Right.
So like that kind of stuff.
Is gone.
Is gone.
Is gone forever.
And also, I don't know, can AI tell the difference between, you know, the Magna Carta, the Bible, and Lord of Rings? You know, the Lord of the Rings?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, who the authors are and what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. What if you fed it something that was like really way out there, like data, you know, like data's writing or magical realism. Like, now what?
Mm-hmm.
You throw some Gabriel Garcia Marquez in there, now what?
Right.
Who
right,
knows?
Right, right.
So
maybe we should get another robot and just program it with all alternative literature, which is not the sexist,
or
racist, you know.
We could have an AI that just says, hey, you know it. The material in there. That's it. We just feed an AI all of our podcasts and see what happens.
I think that's a great idea.
I think the end result of it would be a very scary shark robot penis story that ends with diamonds.
And white wine.
Yes, and white wine. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. Tales from Dark Campfire is a segment where we find tales in the inner of the every single time now. You do it. Fuck it. I'm not doing it.
No, you do it.
All right.
Get back on that horse.
I can do this too.